Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, it's good to have you on the broadcast today.
Well, again, it's an honor to open God's Word and to look at how God works today and how He has worked in history. And I think the topic we'll be looking at for the next few broadcasts will be one that will be a great strength to our faith.
We do have a great topic today, and you and I both have been recently involved in giving some workshops on the topic of Christian apologetics. And I thought this would be a great opportunity for us maybe to talk a little bit about something that our listeners may not be as familiar with as some of our other topics, and yet this topic is such an important topic to us as believers today. In fact, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 talked about being ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason for the hope that is in us. And that give an answer is literally our word apologetic. It means to give an apology for God. And so one of the questions I think might be an interesting way to get us going today is, as you think about Christian apologetics, Doc, what is that? I mean, give us some kind of an understanding of that.
Well, when you look at Peter's answer there, he said, be ready always to give an answer, that apologia, from which we get the study of apologetics. How do you give an answer for why you believe what you believe? And I look at apologetics in two different ways. One is based on Christian evidences. Mm-hmm. Christian evidences are not an offense to the rational mind. A Christian evidence, for example, would be fulfilled prophecy.
Okay.
No thinking person can deny the prophecy of Daniel to the timing of the coming of Christ.
Right.
No thinking person can deny historical data, even about the historical data about the resurrection, the eyewitnesses of that fact.
So you would put, for example, all of the promises in the Old Testament that were fulfilled by Jesus. For example, the promise that 30 pieces of silver would be spent for a place to bury him. The whole fulfillment of many of the specific things. He would come into Jerusalem riding on the foal of a donkey.
Yeah, those kind of things are kind of amusing, even to an unregenerate mind that's rational.
Mm-hmm.
Say, wow, that's really something. It's not an offense. It really is a curiosity.
Okay.
Now, when does it become an offense? When we turn it from a Christian evidence to a Christian apologetic. And that is a leap from that which is observable in history, that which is observable, a prophecy made, a prophecy fulfilled, to that which must be accepted by faith, mm-hmm. The creation of the world.
Yeah, like Romans 1.
Romans 1, the inspiration of God's Word, the absolute authority of God's Word by inspiration, the bodily resurrection, not a swoon theory.
Mm-hmm.
Because a rational mind, as I talked to a medical doctor who got saved a couple of weeks later, said, I cannot believe death could ever come back to life, and I just cannot accept that. And I presented some Christian evidences, but the apologetic was an offense to that mind.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spirit of God did the work in the heart to the converting of that mind, an internist from one of the big medical clinics.
Do you find that's true with a lot of people, Doc?
Any person who is rational, a thinker, will say, yeah, I can accept the scientific evidence. I can accept these type of things. But when it comes to this leap of faith, then I have issues with that. That is indicative of an unregenerate heart, clouded. The God of this world blinded the minds.
Right.
And one thing we have to understand in a Christian apologetic, we have a major enemy who blinds the minds, and the apologetic cannot be received because the thinking is darkened.
Yeah, that's 2 Corinthians 4:6 is what you're talking about. Yeah.
And so when that thinking is darkened, then that mind cannot receive that. So our apologetic, that is the truth of God's Word, becomes an offense to a rational mind. In other words, you are offending my intellect. And there's a movie that's out recently that I heard talked on the radio. In fact, one of the Christian talk, it might have been even BCY, where they were talking during one of the programs. I'm not sure which one it was, but a Ben Stein had been involved in this movie, and it's called Expelled.
Mm-hmm.
Students, as I understand it, believed in creation And the discussion that was going on, it may have even been Fox or one of those O'Reilly Factor or something like that. The question came up, why such rage? Why such vitriolic hatred at the thought of creation? And the response was that it challenges our lifestyle.
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
If creationism is true, then there is a God and intelligent designer, and Genesis 1:1 is right, which means the whole Bible is right. And if the whole Bible is right, I am accountable to a holy God, and then I am going to be held in judgment by this holy God.
This is kind of what the Apostle Paul did on Mars Hill, isn't it? I mean, he started with evidences that they were all eager to hear, and then he moved into an apologetic. And at that stage, when he started talking about the miraculous things that they had to take by faith, that's when he got in trouble.
Yeah, that goes back to the philosophical triangle that we studied back in philosophy many years ago in college. And there was a, called the philosophical triangle, had three levels. The base of the triangle, that base block at the bottom was called horse.
H-O-R-S-E.
H-O-R-S-E. And they knew a horse was there because they could see the horse. The second level was called horse nest, the shadow of the horse. They knew a horse was standing there because it cast a shadow. The top level was faith. That's neither the horse nor the shadow. And when Paul was preaching at Mars Hill, and he was quoting the poets of Erethes and Cleanthes, and he was quoting these poets, and boy, they were honed in. And then he got on the resurrection, which was a major offense.
He just got to the top of the pyramid that you were talking about.
To that rational mind. And they threw dust and they tore their robes in total frustration. Because why in this Platonic thinking that was the goal was to be freed of this body and the soul freed, why would it ever re-inhabit a body and that which is dead is going to stay dead?
Mm-hmm.
So he went from that which was a Christian evidence to that which was a step of faith that to them was an offense to the mind.
You know, we're going to talk about faith here in just a minute, but you made a statement at the very beginning as we were getting ready for this that really impacted me, and that was the idea that, you know, we can argue people into belief, but that doesn't produce lasting, permanent stability of belief.
No, I cannot say, hey, let's have a debate, and I'm going to argue you to my position. Well, number one, it's impossible, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit as I proclaim God's clear gospel. My responsibility, a clear declaration of the gospel. The Spirit of God then takes that word and does the work. And 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So we can present evidences to a point where we get a person to listen. But when it comes down to the person, I cannot argue into belief. Now, if I argue a person into belief and I finally convince him to pray, now, do you have enough evidence now to pray? Well, okay. You know, I've tried many other things. I'll try this. If I argue them into a position, they will abandon that position when trials come. And I think we see that example in Luke chapter 8 in verse 13.
The soils.
Yeah.
In fact, let me read that. And we'll just read the explanation that Jesus gave in verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock, I think this is the one you're talking about.
Yes.
The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation or trial or tribulation, fall away.
Right. In other words, I go out and I convince a person, say, hey, you know what? You can die right now. You can be assured that you're going to heaven. Really? Oh, where do I get the ticket? And so I said, okay, I rather than dealing with sin, dealing with the fact that I'm separated from God, I offer this package and I argue them into this and say, boy, I mean, how could you say no? Well, I guess maybe I shouldn't say no. All right, they're going along fine. All of a sudden they get broadsided.
By tribulation.
By a tribulation. They say, well, if this is how God is going to treat me, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than ever getting a handle by the indwelling Holy Spirit on who God is, then there is the why instead of the who.
Right.
And why are you allowing this? Not who is allowing this. Why am I in the midst of this? And you'll see many people who will hit a trial and say, well, if that's how God treats me, I'm gone.
And I think that's your point in 1 Corinthians 12:3, that nobody can come to a proper understanding and personal conviction in their own heart about the true identity of the Lord apart from a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah. It's significant to me who made the statement in 1 Peter 3:15.
Yeah, Peter did.
Be ready always to give an answer. Now, what was his philosophical training? Where did he get his argumentation?
Well, he was a fisherman, if I remember.
He was a fisherman. By testimony of others, what was he called in the book of Acts?
He was called an unlearned man.
Ignorant and unlearned. No formal education.
Right.
And yet he was the one saying, give a defense. Mm-hmm. So he obviously was not saying you intellectually argue a person
right.
into conversion. No, he was saying present God's truth and let the Spirit of God do that work. Because when that work is done by the Spirit of God, then that person has an understanding. Because the unregenerate does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them.
And I think
spiritually discerned.
I think what we're going to find as we get into the next broadcast is that God typically takes his truth that we present evidentially and eventually apologetically, and he wraps it up in a life that is credible.
Yeah. Well, look for an example. Stephen in Acts chapter 7.
Yeah.
He gave a declared apologetic. Then he had a demonstrated apologetic. Declaration is there, but he sealed his declaration with his blood.
Yes, and that convicted Paul.
Where were the garments of the persecutors, the one who had thrown the rocks? They were at Saul's feet.
And then in chapter 8, he starts persecuting. In chapter 9, he joins the ones he was persecuting.
Yes, when he comes under the conviction, and he says, who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? Two key questions for life. Who is God, his person? What does he want me to do? What's his purpose
mm-hmm.
for me?
Mm-hmm.
Then you boil back down to a real clear scriptural defense by our very lives.
Well, Doc, this has been a fascinating introduction to really our series, Christian Apologetics, Giving a Reason for Your Faith. And we look forward to the next broadcast where we start looking at the life of a person that was really an apologetic in his own life. And until then, we'll trust the Lord. We'll use these broadcasts to be a blessing to all of those who listen. You can download this broadcast as well as all of the other broadcasts in the series, Christian Apologetics, Giving a Reason for Your Faith, by going to our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.